subscribe to Donnie Houston Podcast, man.
Donnie Houston.
Yeah, man, it's going down. It's Donnie Houston Podcast. I am Donnie Houston. Check it out, man. We got a special guest today, man. I'm going to just say it off top, man. The brother is a legend, you know what I'm saying? Young legend, too, you know what I'm saying? And
man, been salute, man.
Killing the game, you know, had his hand all on this game, man, as far as his club is concerned, as far as his Texas club is concerned, man. And his sound has just moved across the country, you know what I mean, with everybody messing with him, man, you know, doing projects with Gangsta Boo, you know what I'm saying? He's on 2 Chainz' new single, you know what I mean? He is the club god, man. B. Hey, King, man. What's going down?
Hey, man, salute. Appreciate you. I'm happy to be here. Like I told you before we got started, goddamn, I was binge-watching your interviews, and I was like, man, I'm learning shit about my own city that I ain't fucking know about. You know what I'm saying? Like, just watching the Killer interviews and the ESG interviews, all the SUC interviews and shit, just people I didn't know about. You know what I'm saying? People with stories that are very integral to the history and all that, you know. So, man, shout out to you, because Houston need this shit.
Man, I appreciate it, man.
We need this shit.
I mean, now we got you here, man, you know what I'm saying, coming in, and, you know, you've been able to bring, literally create and carve your own lane, bro, within this whole scheme of things, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man, I think it's probably because I ain't do drugs. You know, I ain't never sip lean, in a city where everything is slow, I was the only person with some energy. And that's probably where that, you know, came. You know what I'm saying? Shit, before me, it was car culture. It was coming down. It was slow. I say I brought club music to this city, and don't get it fucked up. Shout out to my OGs. People like Lil O. He had club songs. Bag.
These were Houston club songs, mm-hmm. though. You talking about
Bag, yeah, give me 50 feet. And you got people like my motherfucking OG, Bun, UGK, Let Me See It, motherfucking Take It Off Trick. They had club music, but I elevated that shit. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't nobody just like bitch popped it like into me. And then after me, the whole city went club.
Do you think you get credit for that?
I do now. I do now. I wasn't getting it my whole career, but Houston just like that. I love my city to death. It's H-Town all day, but we dick rowdy. You know what I'm saying? It is what it is. And until you hit a certain level, Houston ain't going to give you that respect like that. And it's, you know, it is what it is. Like I say, I love my city to death, but when you live here, people get used to you. And when they get used to you, it's a certain urgency they don't have. It's a certain, like, oh, we can see B. King pumping gas, you know what I'm saying? Oh, we can see Slim Thug at the Galleria, you know what I'm saying? We can see, you know, Zero, you know. Well, I don't know when you see Zero, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, you can see us, aside from a lot of other artists, Houston niggas, we ain't like that. When we get on, for the most part, we stay. But you know, a lot of artists in other cities, you know, they get on, they leave. Certain cities are more dangerous than others, and they have to leave, you know what I'm saying? But for the most part, Houston artists, we have to, like, see you come from the bottom. You know what I'm saying? We have to be like, oh, I went to elementary school with that nigga. We had a fight on 33rd Street in Studio World. I know that nigga. I know he really from the North. I know he really, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, Houston, Texas in general, we get comfortable. You know what I'm saying? So we become famous where we from, and we chill there. We fuck with all the bitches in our region. We do all the shows in our region. We comfortable.
Because you can make money here, and that, you know what I'm saying? You be
Houston,
pretty good,
man,
life.
You can go Texas, you can go platinum. If you that nigga, you can go platinum in Texas. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, so we get used to that. I was one of them people, you know, for like about 5 years, I was stagnant. Because I'm getting all this money here, all these shows.
And this is in the crush and all this time period.
Yeah, you know, so I got used to this shit, and you just like, all right, man, I'm club god here. You know what I'm saying? But when a bigger artist come in the city, that's when it hit me. Like, no, there's still more work to be done, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, when I say Houston dick riding, I wouldn't let no out-of-town nigga say that, but I say that about my own city. Like, when we see bigger things happen for us, that's when we get behind us. Like, yeah, he from Houston, yeah. But it's just an example. You know, let's take A$AP Rocky. It's no disrespect to him. Love his music. When he first came out about 10, 11 years ago, they was like, oh my God, this is just a new sound, this guy is. I'm like, bro, this nigga making Houston music, man. If Slim Thug do it, it's expected. And you don't champion it as hard out of town. Houston, we love it, but out of town, it's expected for Slim to make Houston music. But if a dude from New York make Houston music, hey, oh my God, this is something new. I can't grip my head around what this new sound is. And it's just like, no, it just came from out of town. You know what I'm saying? So, like I say, man, Houston, if we see you come from over there, we love you. But if you right from here, we'll get you there. Because H-Town made me, 979 The Box made me. We'll get you right here. And then we get used to you, and we'll leave you right there. You know what I'm saying? And unless you got enough grind in you to get out this bitch and to go out of town and to put that work into, you're a rot here. Can't no out-of-town nigga say that, though. But.
Yeah, no, I understand.
Yeah, exactly. I know how it go out here.
Yeah.
I'm 12 years in.
Yeah. Even, I mean, did when you started out, did you start out to do club music, or did you evolve into that?
I evolved into it. My close friend, people who probably my fans from the MySpace era or before that, they know I'm a lyricist. Like, I can really rap.
I know you can rap. Yeah.
I can really rap. That's probably why I lasted this long. I know how to dumb my shit down, but say catchy enough things with the right club beats to grab your attention. I used to rap like Eminem. I used to rap like Lloyd Banks and Pusha T and Joe Budden. And like, I was cut from that.
Are you producing at the same time too, and producing along them lines as well?
I was making beats as well, you know what I'm saying? So a lot of my beats, back then, they were very G-Unity. They was very Swiss Beats-ish. You know, stuff that had that BPM that you could spit to, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't bouncing yet. And I say, when I discovered 3-6 Mafia, that's when my life changed. You know what I'm saying? I grew up on No Limit, though. Like, I tell everybody all the time, like, I feel like No Limit was my dad. You know, my daddy wasn't there, you know what I'm saying? So I learned a lot of shit, a lot of street shit from No Limit. I learned how to be a real nigga, how not to snitch, how not to do a lot of shit from No Limit Records. I just went to the reunion tour when they came to Houston, and I met a lot of them in person for the first time. You know, it's like, we all been cool on Instagram for years, but just hanging with them niggas. Like, I'm like, man, y'all niggas. Even Slim was there. He's like, nigga, this the shit I grew up to. I'm like, nigga, me too. You know what I'm saying? A lot of niggas think I'm like in my 20s, I'm 37. You know what I'm saying? I'm be 40 in 3 years. You know what I'm saying? So, like I say, you know, but when I discovered 3-6 Mafia, that's when I realized how I was going to fit in.
You get into 3-6 when they were coming out, or was it later on?
When I heard it, when I first heard it, I was in middle school. I heard Tet a Club up like everybody else. Yeah, and I was like, this cool, this shit lit. I ain't never heard a song.
But No Limit was killing every TV the same age.
Yeah.
It was No Limit, 97, 98, bro. It was No Limit.
Master P had his own wall in my room.
It was what it was.
Silk, nigga, C Murder. Nigga, anybody had that Mystical. Cover, that colorful cover? I bought that shit. No Limit was everything. Like, and then Cash Money crept in.
Right behind
the boys. Around 99, 2000. And I was like, nah, this nigga Juvenile is retarded. And then I started hearing about Wayne. And I was like, all right, these the niggas. You know, I said, I'm jamming this shit. And I'm jamming Rough Riders around that time, too, because I'm real cultured with music. I'm listening to everything.
See, the Rough Rider Cash Money thing was going on at the same time.
2000.
Yeah.
They came to Houston one time. I couldn't go. I was too young. I wouldn't let me go to concerts yet. You know what I'm saying? But when Rough Riders, Cash Money, so I was influenced by that. You know what I'm saying? But I discovered 3-6 Mafia that same year. Like, I heard about it from 97, but I started listening to their albums, and when I heard those beats, that's what made me want to start making beats. I was like, all right, it was really like hypnotized mind, like they say, like them beats, them hi-hat patterns, them snare patterns, like that's what I wanted to do. I found out what I wanted to do with my life when I heard 3-6. That's why it's surreal to me that Juicy, me and Juicy J are friends. Like, that's like my idol. He know that. I be like, bro, I be trying, I get on the phone with you, my nigga, I be trying not to talk too much. Because I'm starstruck every time. You know what I'm saying? We cool, cool as fuck. I randomly text the nigga, he texted me. But that's like my idol. I wouldn't be feeding my family, wouldn't be a club god if it wasn't for him. You know what I'm saying? But
are you starting, yeah. When do you, are you starting to make beats at this time?
I started making beats when I was 16. Dropped out of school and everything.
You dropped out of school? No shit. To do music.
I dropped out twice. And it was crazy. My mama was a teacher. And she just couldn't understand how she had a master's degree. And I dropped out of twice. Dropped out of school twice. Didn't want to go to school. But I was just like, I started making beats when I was 16. And when I discovered that, it's all I wanted to do. I feel like that was the only thing I was good at in my whole life. I just wanted to do it every day.
But so you're not taking the street route like most kids. They drop out of school, they in the streets. You dropping out of school and you at home working on beats and shit.
But see, that was all my partners. All my partners was in them streets, robbing like Sonics and McDonald's and shit, and hitting licks. The thing back then was like catching a Mexican cashing his check and knocking him out and taking his money and shit. Like, on Titwell, like, all my partners was into doing that shit. And, like, that, it was so many of my partners went to jail or died and shit. And I actually had a good mother, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was one of them people, I got instant karma. As soon as I did stupid shit happened to me. You know, like, that saying where your mom used to be like, man, God look after fools. Mm-hmm. People who don't know no better, man, them niggas don't die. Them niggas don't take no L's. They just living off adrenaline. They just living off life. But when you know better and you're hesitant because you were raised right,
you're going to get that reminder.
Instant punishment. Yeah. God instantly punish you. You know what I'm saying? I ain't never.
Bro, we are a lot of liking that. And bro, we are a lot of.
Our parents.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, so I would see that shit and be like, man, I was way fatter when I was 16. I'm like, man, I know it ain't no chicken that I like in prison. In the penitentiary, ain't no bitches in the penitentiary. Fuck that shit, you know what I'm saying? So I started making beats, and I'd be up to like 5 o'clock in the morning.
Wait. So this is at that time, though, because I started DJing when I was 15, right? Like I said, you're around the same age. Mm-hmm. About a year later, around this time, I go to my cousin's house, and he's making beats. He was a little younger than me, and he's the first person to show me Fruity Loops. So are you Fruity Loops at that time?
Around that time, I started making beats in the year 2000. You know what I'm saying? So software was very expensive. You know, around that time, people didn't really have a computer in their room like that. You had like one computer in the house, and that was in the living room or something. Mm-hmm. And your mama was like, get off that shit. That's the house computer. I'm trying to call my friend. I need the internet to not stop my call. Like, you know, you had Roadrunner internet back then. That's how old I am. Roadrunner internet. Yeah, AOL. They making them noises. You trying to, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, software wasn't affordable back then. So I had a Casio keyboard that had a sequencer. And that was like my world. My mama bought that for me. It was like $350. Guitar Center wasn't popping yet. It was Mars Electronics.
Yes, sir. That's where I got my first set of turntables.
Right by Memorial City Mall, right there.
See, we had one over there by Mile Park. It was a Mile Park.
Yeah, it was one over there, too. Yeah, Mars went out of business, I think, around about like 05, 04 or whatever.
And it was one of the livest music stores. I haven't been to one
like that since. Yeah. Guitar Center was not as beautiful as Mars was. You felt like you was really on Mars.
You walked in Mars and it was huge and it's like this and that and everything. Yeah.
You know, Guitar Center was straight to the point, like a guitar, keyboard, give me your money. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Mars, it was glowing lights everywhere and shit, you know what I'm saying? But got my first keyboard at 16. Mama bought it for me. And, you know, from there, I got my first job working at Tinseltown Movie Theater. Hmm. And I was stealing money from there. That's how I built my studio. Bought my first drum machine, stealing money from Tinseltown. They knew it. That's why they fired me.
Man, so back then you was on the music. It was.
Yeah, I was on the music, man. Like it's like I said, it probably, you know, attests to my longevity because I'm a very musical person, you know. So a lot of people who don't know that, they just hit a pop their pussy bitch and thinking I'm, oh, that was strategic. I learned that the lyrical route, that wasn't for me. People didn't want to hear that from me. So I was like, well, tell me what you know about me. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. This is what y'all like for me. All right, well, fuck it, man. I'll give y'all some simple-ass shit, and I'm going to talk about these bitches. And that's when the fans came.
But even before then, though, because the first time I heard you was the independent.
Yeah, that was my first national hit. Well, it was kind of
almost national. B King, that was the first time you started getting that.
Yep, Candy Red. Yeah. It's crazy. Me and her was just chopping it up the other day on Instagram. She just made another Instagram. I don't know if I was supposed to say that. But I DM'd her. I said, is this really you, my nigga? And she hit me back like a week later, like, yeah. I was like, oh, man, that's dope, man. I'm glad you're back on the gram because, shit, you just disappeared. And people don't really, you know, but some people want to disappear. You know what I'm saying? So, but, yeah, that was my first hit, 09.
And that, and that even, too, because we're going to go back to this, but you just tying in with women in the H doing it early. You know what I'm saying? That was one of the first ones.
Like, I had saw, like, last year was a post about 2 years ago about Gucci Mane. It's like, man, nobody helped women in hip-hop like Gucci Mane because he got female artists and he helped Nicki first, and he did. I was like, man, you know, it's what I was doing. It's what on a national level. But my first hit was with a woman, Candy Red. I learned the game from a woman. My manager was my baby mama, a woman. Candy Red taught me how to push a single. You know what I'm saying? I watched her on, this was 08. We made Independent Bitches. And I watched her go from like 5 or 6 clubs a night. Because back then it was ushering in a new generation. Like the generation I'm in, Propane, me, Just Britney, Dobeezy, you.
DeLorean out.
D-Lo, you know. And it was, the city sound was switching. You know what I'm saying? The guys before us, the Slims, the, you know, they was, it's more traditional sound. But us, we had a little bit more, we were more lyrical. I say technique-wise, the lyrics has always been in Houston's music. We are underground city. That's why our sound sounded like that. We ain't give a fuck about no radio, no TV. I should have always been underground from SUC Swish Outs. But I think when our era came in, either you were going to be lyrical or you were going to be club. And it was two people that came before me on the club shit, and I always give them credit. Shout out to my nigga Justo, Young Problems. Boy, I got song. And boy, that's one of the first, like, new generation Houston songs. And then Independent Bitches came after that. And then I came after that. And then from there,
was Crush the first one that you jumped out there?
Crush was the first one.
Bro, that's, see, and Crush one of the records, bro, like, you got a bunch of them, you know what I'm saying?
That was the first
where
one.
Where you can save, like, I tell you every time I get in the bind DJ and I don't know what to do, I put a BK record on, I know I'm going to get some, somebody going to move something, you know what I'm saying? That's, but Crush one is one of them ones still to this day.
That's one of them Texas classics. Like, you go to Dallas, they still play it like it's 2010. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's one of them Texas motherfuckers, like in the Midwest. Like, until 2 years ago, you know, my region was like Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, you know, St. Louis. In Central America, I've been Justin Bieber for like 10 years. In Central America, can't go to the mall, can't do shit, can't go to Walmart. But 2020 on down, that's when I became nationwide. You know what I'm saying? So to everybody else, they think I just got on. I'm like, man, this is new to y'all. I've been that nigga for 12 years.
I can testify. I swear to God. Like,
I've been doing these big crowds, been doing these shows, you know, been having the houses, the all that shit. Man, ain't shit changed, but the years on the card.
This is my B King story to attest to what you said. I had this in my notes too. I was gonna bring this shit up. 2014, me and Pro, we had the Dub Car Show. Boosie had just came home.
Yeah, I remember that.
We went first. Well, we went early on. You went on after.
That's the year they had me on. I remember that. And I had Slim
B-King
out there.
B King comes out there. He's going through them, and then somehow you go into the crowd, and it's like a sea of people like this. And I leaned over the pro. I said, hey, man, this nigga really is the club guy, man. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, man.
And it was, it, for me, it was a trip because it was like, okay, we in Dallas, and this is the reaction. You feel me? At the dub court. Like, it was a big deal, bro.
See, the thing, like I say, man, you know, my story, to me, it's I combine UGK and 2 Chainz story together. Because I saw an interview Bun did back in the day where he was saying that a lot of things we did, we could have been bigger if we would have took certain things, but we didn't, to stay true to ourselves. And he said that he would never regret anything, and he, you know what I'm saying? And I'm the same way. I don't regret anything. I respect my path, everything I had to go through, you know what I'm saying? Because it was a lot of things I could have did. I could have took them deals in 2010 and all that. And, you know, but it wasn't no real respect for Texas with them labels back then. We was just coming off the Boogie era where Dallas had started. They was trying to give everybody them whole-ass 360s. And me being the age I was back then, I remember the money Swisher House was getting, all that shit. I'm like, I'm not finna give y'all all my money. I do everything. I make the beat. I record myself, mix the master, all that. I rap. Y'all gonna have to pay me for all that. And I ain't going. And I knew that from a young age, you know what I'm saying? So I was just like, no. You know, but after a while, when you start hitting that stagnant level, you sitting there like, damn, man, should have took some of them deals. I'd probably been a bigger artist by now or something. You know, everything happened the way it's supposed to happen, you know. So back then, at that time, people didn't understand my audience. My audience is colleges, the college girls. My fan base is probably 100% girls, probably 80% girls. 50% of them people are gay people, because I make party music. And it's probably about 15, 10% guys, you know what I'm saying? So they didn't really know how to pinpoint my fan base, so that's probably why I didn't get a lot of, you know, praise or accolades early, because it's like his fan base, we don't really know who his fan base is, you know. But you look at this influx of female rappers from the city. I was the first female rapper from Houston. You know what I'm saying? Straight the fuck up. You know, you look at the Megans. You know Megan grew up on some club, God. She went to PV. Look at Kendra Man. All this club energy. Look at Libra. This club energy. You know what I'm saying? Like the whole female rap wave. Nigga, Club God was the first female rapper from Houston. You know what I'm saying? Straight the fuck up. I joke about this shit, but you know, it is what it is. There was no real club energy here before me. Yeah. Straight up.
Yeah, man. Talk about, because like you said, I mean, you had this run where you were going and you just kind of felt like it was stagnant. Like, this is after you have all these club records. Like, what point were you when you was like, man, I got to make a move, man?
2013, that was one of the worst years of my career. Around that time, everyone's used to me now. You know what I'm saying? I had been around about 3 or 4 years around that time, and one of my biggest songs to date is Throw That Ass. But that was the year it came out. And when it came out that year, it was nowhere as big as it is today. Today it's a club classic, but back then, in 2013, I'm the rapper that's been out about 3 or 4 years. You're used to me. All I know is that was the first single I've ever had where I'm cussing too much in the hook. So now the radio can't play it. I'm not getting spins like that. You know what I'm saying? My shows are going down because of that. So I'm not getting booked like that. And it hit me. I'm like, man, I got to get the fuck out of Texas. I've done everything I can do here. I've hit that glass ceiling. I got to move around. So I almost moved, you know, to Atlanta. You know what I'm saying? Stopped paying on the house I had. I was leasing at the time. Me, my baby mama, my kids, and we was finna just move to Atlanta. And it hit me. I was like, everybody be dick riding Atlanta, man. And I don't mean that disrespectful way. I love Atlanta because Atlanta love me. Shit. You know, but I was like, I'm a H-Town nigga. When my rap partners from out of town, a football player partners, a basketball player partners, when they come to Houston, they want me to take them everywhere. Like, I'm a Houston flag waver. What good am I to my city in Atlanta? So after I had that epiphany, I was like, I'm going to stay. I'm not going to move. But I had already stopped paying on my house. You know what I'm saying? So now me and my kids, baby, mom, we ain't got nowhere to go. So I'm like, well, shit. Got to call my mama. This is when she was still alive, you know what I'm saying? Called her up. I said, hey, man, you know, I need to come stay at your house.
Oh, it was like that. You went back to the crib.
Yeah, I had to go stay with my mama for like about 3 months so I can go house searching and look for another house and, you know, get everything back together. And you know, all this was happening in 2013. It was just a humbling experience because when you back at home with your mama, she don't give a fuck about none of that club guard shit. She like, wash the dishes. I'm like, what? I was just on Billboard charts last year. What are you talking about? No, independently number 97 on the urban hip hop R&B charts. You ain't about that. Like, I'm not finna wash no dishes. Like, I don't give a fuck. It's like, bet, is it some soap over there? All right. You know, so I was sleeping on an air mattress at my mama's house, all that. And when I got my new house, you know what I'm saying, it just moved out of there. And I just wanted to make sure I never had another 2013 again. You know what I'm saying? So pretty much, you know, like you were saying with that stagnant shit, that was around the time where I felt I had to leave. I had to do something different. You know what I'm saying? So after that, that's when I went mixtape crazy. I was like, all right, well, people are not going to make club hits. Let me go more albumish and let them know that I can rap too. So I would mix the albums now. Now half the album is club, the other half is rapping. And when I did that, I started getting blog attention. Hot New Hip Hop and Complex and, you know what I'm saying, Hip Hop DX and a lot of these writers I'm still cool with to this day. You know what I'm saying? I started getting blog attention when I started spitting. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, all right. They posting me on blogs now, on Twitter and shit. You know what I'm saying? So that's when I met Nancy Byron. You know, she was my first, you know, OG.
OG publicist.
Yeah. Her and them hoe-ass fucking cats. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's my nigga, though, man. Nancy, man. You know, she taught me the whole, you know, publication game.
Because prior to that, you still were able to create these buzzes just off natural word of mouth.
Yeah, because also, I'm realizing that, all right, well, I'm a character. People think I'm fucking funny. So if I don't have a single that's popping, let me look around on the internet and see if anybody did some bullshit. I'm going to make a song about it.
I remember that era.
So I'm like, if I ain't got a single, if I got a single, I'm not going to do it because I'm too busy. But if I don't have a single and you do some bullshit, I'll get uppercutted by a bus driver or your name is Sharkeisha or P.O.P. Hold It Down or anything. I'm on your ass. You know what I'm saying? And I would do freestyles, just funny freestyles. And they would be so big. Hell, they would be bigger than my singles sometimes. And they would get so big, so many hits. I never really liked SoundCloud. I was always an Audio Mac person. It would get so many hits on Audio Mac. Me and Audio Mac developed a relationship, and then these freestyles, they all started going to World Star. So every time I would drop one, it'd go to World Star, to the point where me and Q got cool with World Star. He like, nigga, you are funny as fuck. And then when he passed away, it hurt me. I was like, dang, that was a real nigga, because everything I was doing, he was putting it up, and then it just stopped. You know what I'm saying? I stopped getting that World Star love like I was doing. But my thing is with that, I ushered in a whole other form of hip hop because I was doing funny freestyles about stuff before Instagram. People like, Sway the Remix God. He told me, he said, nigga, I was in high school listening to those. Every time you did one of them motherfucking hoes was funny as hell to me. That's why he started doing what he does. The other guy, Marquise, the guy that made the Never would have made. He'd tell me, like, nigga, you the GOAT. You started that. He's like, I was listening to that shit in New York. That's why I do what I do.
It's so crazy, it's like, the things that you that people pick up on. It's like, you done did all this other shit, and then I get on the gram and I'm just commentating. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And this is what y'all fucking
with. So I ushered in a whole different sound of hip hop, but because I wasn't at the level I'm at today, back then, nobody cares. You know, I say that all the time, man. If you talking shit on the internet and you have a popping single, it's gold. Everyone loves everything you're saying. But if you're talking shit on the internet and you're not popping, it sounds like complaining. If you're not popping, it's complaining. But if you are popping, everybody like, yeah, man, he's spitting some real shit. You know what I'm saying? This is all about your level of status, where you are. You know what I'm saying? Because if you up there, you know, people are going to, you know, receive things more. You're going to get more praise. You're going to get your flowers, you know what I'm saying? But if you underground, people don't want to give you your flowers. And I'm at the point now, man, I just take my flowers, man, because shit, people going to play with you, man, if you don't just get out there and be like, nah, nigga, I start this. I did this shit, they're going to play with you. And, you know, another thing, too, you know, it's a lot of people who, I'm glad, you know, you doing this from the city. A lot of people, they get in position doing certain things, they become important to the culture. And because they may not have been a fan of you, they'll try to rewrite history without you in it. Because they weren't personally a fan. And I'm like, nigga, did you forget the whole thing I did? You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I'm at the point now where I used to be a nice guy. Nigga, I be talking shit now. You know what I'm saying? Because you got to. That's the only thing they going to remember, that shit you was talking. You know what I'm saying? So.
We talking about that mixtape run, though. This is when you start doing you did the Gangsta Boo tape.
Yeah.
Talk about that.
One of my biggest albums.
Now you linking up with your heroes now, you know what I mean?
Shout out to Gangsta Boo. That's my big sis. And my loyalty goes to her.
Gangsta Boo's so hard, man.
It's only three queens of the South. Mia X, Gangsta Boo, and Trina. The first three. The first three women. So all these other females, they sound like them. Either you rap like Trina, or you rap like Gangsta Boo, or you rap like Mia X, them the first three. You know what I'm saying? You got ghetto twins, but they ain't really hit the, you know what I'm saying? So, like, if you're a female rapper today, you rap like them three. I mean, you can listen to any female rapper today and kind of
figure out which one. Yeah.
From City Girls to Megan, you can listen to them and be like, you like this one. You know what I'm saying? So, me and Gangsta Boo, we became cool. We had a mutual friend, RIP, her name was Speaker Fox.
I know Speaker Fox out in the A, DJ.
That was my nigga, you know what I'm saying? Speaker Fox, she met her through my good friends in London, Davey Boy Smith, and I can't think of his name, you're gonna kill me, Rob Percy. They used to he had a radio show out there in London. They loved Houston music and our culture and all that. And my first South by Southwest shows were through them. You know what I'm saying? And Speaker Fox was real good with them. And me and her became cool. And I was like, man, is there any way you could leave me with Gangsta Boo? Oh, hell yeah, like my best friend. And when she did that, you know, it's funny because Gangsta Boo is so much nicer now. But back then, she was an asshole, and she knows it. She just was a mean motherfucking bitch. You know what I'm saying?
And you just this guy, you want to come do this tape with
her. Yeah, you know, around that time, you know, she was going through her own hate. People not giving her, people trying to rewrite history without her in it. Like, she wasn't in 3-6 Mafia. Like, she wasn't, like, she ain't that bitch, because she is. She one of the queens of the South, too. You know, she probably had that on her shoulders. You know, that's probably why she acted the way she acted back then. You know what I'm saying? But when we first, I remember trying to write her on Twitter, she would ignore me and shit, you know what I'm saying? Like, but when Speaker Fox linked us, that's when it became real. And then we became real cool, and she just gave me so much information about my favorite rap group of all time, just long talks on the phone every night and shit. And she did a feature for my mixtape in 2014, Gangsta Strip Music 2. And when she did that, we both loved the song so much. I said, man, let's just do a whole album. She's like, bet. Because I can make beats just like Juicy J and DJ Paul. So she heard the beats and was like, nigga, you a student like a motherfucker. I was like, yeah. Ever since I was 16, I got all y'all drums, everything. You know what I'm saying? So my dogs are stunting Dojin. They the same way. Mm. They got all 360 Mafia drums. So together with my little brother Sergeant Jay, and he made Bust It for Erica Banks recently. He just went platinum with that. You know what I'm saying? We all together put that album together. And when we did it, it was critically acclaimed. Goddamn. Rolling Stone. And this was no publicist. Rolling Stone wrote about it. Goddamn, Complex, all these big publications, they said one of the best albums that came out that year. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just like, damn, that was a big deal to me. You know, from there, you know what I'm saying, with the years passing and everything, me and DJ Paul, we get cool on Instagram. Me and Project Pat, one of my favorite rappers, Project Pat, we get cool. I'm like, man, that's Juicy J, brother. I'm very close to Juice now.
Is this happening from him catching buzz at what you're doing with Boo, or is this just over time, you just crash
across? Well, see, with my career, I had three different fan bases. I had the club fan base. I had the 666 Mafia fan base through the Gangsta Boo mixtapes and all that. And I had the Funny Freestyles fan base. And a lot of those fan bases didn't know each other. People who knew me from doing Funny Freestyles did not know that was the guy from Thudded Ass. And they damn sure ain't know that was the nigga that was rapping with Gangsta Boo for real. Like, wait, that can't be the same nigga that's rapping, like rapping, but talking about hammer. Like, it can't be the same nigga, you know? So it was three separate fan bases, you know? So through the 360 Mafia mixtape series, I rose to their attention. You know, me and Project Pat, we got cool around 2017-ish, 18-ish. He was like, send me some beats. I was like, yes, sir. Sent him some beats, and it was one of his singles. Couldn't really get it cleared at the time, no, because it had a Kaya sampling in my neck, my back. He had put Light Skin Keyshawn and everything, and, you know, around that time, Megan is starting to blow up, 2018. You know, so Juicy J's working close with her. I'm working close with Project Pat. It was the connection was going in the seed. You know, after a while, and then when I blew up, that's, you know, me and Juicy J, we both were Sony. You know, I signed with Columbia, you know, so then we just got real tight. And, you know what I'm saying, like, Juicy, he know now. Like, nigga, you hit them snares, you hear, like, all that shit. Like, the DNA is in there. You know what I'm saying? So
now I know it. Nigga, get on the gram. B King might be gangster walking, all kind of shit. I'm like, oh, nah, this boy really ain't go.
I'm really a Memphis nigga and H-Town ass nigga body. Like, I love Memphis to death. Get a lot of my influence from Memphis. I get a lot of love in Memphis. You know what I'm saying? I advise every artist, just go to Memphis clubs whenever you're bored. You're going to hear songs you never heard before. You're going to hear them flow patterns. You're going to hear them beats. And it's going to make you go home and elevate your own shit. You know what I'm saying? Just sit in the Memphis club and just eat that barbecue and that chicken, and then you're going to hit them. You're going to be hearing that shit like, I can't wait to go home, get in the lab. Because you're going to hear shit you've never heard before, and that shit, and they singing it word for word. I'm like, what the fuck is this? It just came out last month. I'm like, man, wait till this shit get to Houston. They're going to be shooting niggas to this. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So, like, it's, you know, Memphis hip-hop, you know, I think that's how me and Drake got cool, because it's like, a nigga like Drake, he keep his ear to the street when it comes to Houston and Memphis. Them two cities, he know everything move. Hmm. And Houston, Drake probably somehow know I'm sitting here right now. Drake know everything that's going on in Houston. Like he, like Pootie Tang or some shit, like he there, but you know what I'm saying? Houston and Memphis, he gonna always fuck with the underground from those two cities. You know what I'm saying? So, like, it is a connection. You think about Suave House and A-Ball, MJG. Houston's and Memphis always been real pimpy. You know what I'm saying? We're like, we cool niggas. We killers, too. We cool niggas. We coming down. It's candy paint, slab, you know what I'm saying? So, Memphis and Houston, it's always been that connection. And that's, and my music is very influenced by Memphis. You know what I'm saying? I grew up jamming that shit. And I grew up listening to Houston music too. But like, it, when Lil Kiki new album came out, I didn't listen to it right away like everybody else from Houston. The same message people got from Lil Kiki, I was getting it from Project Pat. And I listened to Lil Kiki album after I listened to Project Pat album. And then I, you know, you got Best of Both Worlds, you know what I'm saying? Like, so.
Yeah. Man, talk about the Then Leave record. How did that come about? And then, you know, it's like timing is everything. And like, it seems like time has just like lined up for you in the sense of like, we're in this TikTok generation. And like, you don't, I could be wrong, but I think you just make what you feel like making, and it just happens to work in this time we in. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know if you made Then Leave for that type of shit, but it's like you make these types of records and it's like, this is perfect for this.
Man, I understand the art of hit making. I learned how to make a hit repeatedly. Like, I can do it in my sleep. I know how to make the beat just quiet and whack enough so it's not too much. You can hear all the words if I say the right thing, or if I tell Queendom come to say the right thing. Because female rappers had a real big come up when Cardi came out. When Cardi came out, she showed every woman that they can do it. Maybe you was a stripper, maybe you was selling pussy. It don't matter. If you say the right shit on the right beat, bitch, you can be a millionaire.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So when the female rappers popped out so hard, Megan, City Girls and all that, I remember when Megan first came out, because I knew about Megan through them bars back in 2016. I knew about Megan. I knew she was going to be exactly what she is. But when she finally popped out, I remember sitting there like, how do I compete with that?
Hmm.
She's a woman. Like, if I say pop that pussy, I got to have some bitches on stage popping pussy. She can say, bitch, pop that pussy. Turn around and do it. I can't do that. Like, how you compete with that? You know what I'm saying? So I was just like, alright, me and Queen, I say, I can talk to women through your voice. Me and Queen had a hit 2012, You Ain't About That Life.
Mm-hmm,
oh,
mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't know that's the same girl. Go watch the video.
Oh, shit.
You Ain't About That Life. Oh, it just wasn't God, it wasn't time yet, you know. People are like, man, you and DJ Cho's thick. Y'all done went gold. I'm like, man, we made that song 10 years ago. It's called Throw That At. Hold up, bitch, throw that at. A lot of people are hearing that. I'm like, wait, y'all, that's the same nigga. So if you're 21 on TikTok and these songs came out when you were 11, you're going back. You just like, man, wait, this the same nigga from Crush? That song I heard in the car my mama was listening to, that's him on Then Leave? What? You know, so all these old songs I did, they're starting to resurface on TikTok. And the shit crazy. Like, every other month I get on TikTok and there's some new video got
popping.
40,000 videos. I'm just like, this shit old. TikTok the Wild Wild West. You can't control it. Yeah. They'll take a Michael Jackson song from the 70s and remix it, and now my kids know it. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, man. Then Leave. I got off topic. Then Leave. I remember it was January 2020. I told Queen, I said, man, come to the house, man. I got a hit song. Made the beat. I told her what to say. We was like, man, this the shit. Woke up the next day, I didn't like it. I was like, man, this shit cool, but it ain't special. And I have enough of a DJ mind to know when it's not gonna work. So I like, man, it's cool, but it ain't special. I said, you gotta come back to the house. We gotta switch this hook around. She said, all right. I said, okay. I erased the whole first half of the hook. She's like, what? I was like, yeah, I erased the whole first half. Fuck that shit. I need you to go in there and say, And when she did, I said, all right, now double it. All right, double it again. She doubled it 3 times. I put it throughout the whole song. I said, all right, now this sounds special now. I said, all right, well, I delete the whole first half of the hook. I need you to go in there and say, I ain't gay, but let a bitch eat me out. She's like, what? I was like, trust me, it's stupid, but bitches say dumb shit like this. She said that. We fixed that whole first half of the hook, and I was just like, it's a hit without me. I ain't even rapped on it yet. I was like, man, this shit a hit. At the time, Jade was in jail. The artist, my artist, she was in jail. So I was gonna put her on the second verse. But I was like, I'm gonna do the first verse. And I said, let me switch this beat up. Make it say doom, 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 doom. They gave the song a different dynamic. So now it get lit when the verse come in. After it was already lit on the hook. So I sat on the song about a month. My manager Tasha was like, look, don't put Jade on the second verse. This is a hit fucking song. You know, I don't even like your shit. My manager, she don't even listen to my shit. I don't even like your shit. But I like this one. You need to be on there by yourself. I was like, you're right. I need a hit by myself. So did the second verse myself. You know what I'm saying? But I say, all right, well, let me finish my album. It was Gangsta Strip Music 3. Finished the album. Shot the video and everything. Then all of a sudden the world closed down. COVID. Nobody saw this happening in January. Something like that. I got this hit song. I know it's a hit, but I'm crippled. I can't go to clubs and push it. I can't do shit. And then I got a phone call from my dog, DJ Young Streets. He a DJ at 979 The Box.
Yeah.
It's my dog. Me and him, we from the same era. You know, he was putting me on in 2009 and 10 with them colleges. But, you know, he worked for the radio now. He called me, say, B-King. He always hit me up randomly. He said, you got any new songs, anything you want to push? I said, man, I got this heat rock right now, but everything is fucking closed down. I don't know how to push it. He said, hey, my nigga, we just got our, you know, research back. Nigga, ratings are through the fucking roof. Everyone's at home not doing shit, listening to the radio. Netflix shit is through the roof. TikTok is through the roof. He said, if you got anything, drop it right now. I was like, all right. I dropped my album a week later. And from the second I clicked post on Instagram on that Didn't Leave video, my life ain't been the same. From the second I posted, post on Instagram, it was just like God was like, it's time for you now. And from that point on.
In the video and the visual, everything lined up. Like you played right there, club, girl, you know what I'm saying? Like all the bullshit.
It was all the right elements. It was all the, and that's always been my brand.
Yeah.
My fucking hair used to be green. Yeah. I want to get your attention. I want you to stop scrolling. What can I do to make you stop scrolling? That's how I saw the cucumber shit. Like, how can I get you to stop scrolling?
We skipped over that. We're going to come back to that.
We'll come back to that. Crazy time. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But I saw the director. I said, I want to be humping a girl. And I want Queen Head to come down and eat us both. And he's sitting there like, I'm like, you following me, right? He's like, yeah, okay. You know, but when it did it, it was effective. You know, when Drake had just followed me on Instagram a couple months ago at that time. And when he saw it and he liked it, I was like, oh shit, that nigga DM me. He's like, nigga, this song's so fucking hard, nigga, you killed your verse. I'm like, nigga, I killed my verse. Nigga, you killed verses. Fuck. You know what I'm saying? And through that song, me and him got real cool. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, man, I ain't even gonna tell nobody I'm chopping it up with Drake, man. I'm just gonna keep that to myself. I don't know, every time Drake fucking DM somebody, and a millisecond later, straight to Instagram, man, Drake, he's in my DM for the bust of the nut. I was like, nah, man, I'm a Houston nigga. Drake fuck with Houston niggas, I'm a chill out. You know, so like 2 or 3 months later, TikTok grabbed the song. And when TikTok grabbed it, it was out of there. That's when you white famous. That's when you white viral. Once TikTok grabbed it, and they drive them streams up, that's when every label started trying to hit me. For a week and a half, I was on conference calls with like 3 labels a day and all that. And to me, the bidding war meant more to me than all the money I'm making now. You know what I'm saying? Like, to me, that meant more to me because I had been independent for 10 years up to that point. To finally get this bidding war over me and all these labels, like, Universal, Capital, motherfucking, even OVO hit me up, but they was too late. And it was too late, but all these labels finally trying to, you know what I'm saying, give me the bag that I deserve. I've been turning down the bullshit for years. You know what I'm saying? Like, Columbia was the only label. All the other labels was like, yeah, B-King, we love this song. We want to give you $1 million. We want to give you 1.5. We want to do all this for you. You know what I'm saying? Columbia was the only one like, hey man, what's the next single? Hey man, what's your album song? What's your plan after this song? Like longevity shit. Plus one A&R's was from Texas. I just felt more of a vibe with Columbia. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I went with them. And they doubled the money. Everybody
else cut the check. Like, yeah.
They got to talking to them M's. I was like, I'm going with y'all.
I remember I seen a tweet like, I just signed to Columbia for $3 million. I'm like, ooh, that nigga.
Hey, you know what's crazy? When I tweeted that, shout out to my dog Imran. He not at Columbia no more. He over there at Island now. He called my manager quick. He said, hey man, can he take that down? We don't want that kind of info. How can he take that down? And I was like, man, Tasha, man, I don't want to take that shit down. What the fuck? I need that shit up. She said, take it fucking down. I was like, all right. Took that shit down. But by the time I took it down, the damage was already down.
Where's that? Everybody
screenshot that shit, but that shit everywhere. And I wish I never did it. Now I know why you don't do shit like that.
Once everybody thinks you got money, they want it.
I just did something else stupid recently. I put that money on the floor. Did that young boy challenge?
Yeah.
I put all that money on the floor, and now my haircuts, I mean, it's going to be $1,000. What? What, a shape up? You know what I'm saying? Your oil change is going to be $600. What? It's like everything, everybody, when they think you got money, they want it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, no, flossing never been my thing. I never wore jewelry. Never was my thing. But every once in a while, I do a little dumb, immature shit. Just let niggas know I'm rich. And then the backlash come back so quick. I'm like, oh, man, that's why I don't do that. That's why I am the way I am. I don't, you know what I'm saying? That ain't my thing. You know what I'm saying? Straight up, so. My girl, she helped me put the money on the floor, too.
when you got into the label and everything, were there, because I know you start cleaning up. It's like, boy, you got the teeth. Start getting, you know, hit me on the health thing. Like, are people telling you this, or you just more so conscious, like, man, now I'm in a position now. I want to make sure I'm.
It's just certain things. My nigga, I wouldn't even did this interview if I had my old teeth. Because the camera right in your face. Every time you laugh. Nah, man, when you got them teeth done, it makes you have a more of a confidence about yourself, man. You can talk about things, you can laugh at things. People want to talk to you. You know what I'm saying? Teeth is the new jewelry. You got your teeth done, people are like, oh, that's a rich nigga.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a rich bitch. Or she's fucking a rich nigga. Like, you got them teeth done. Them teeth gonna start you for veneers, 25 racks. That's not a lot, but to a normal person, that's a lot of money. Now, I didn't even get veneers. I got implants. They took all 32 teeth out.
They took them off? They didn't shave them down or not?
No, these are implants. I'm dying with these. People who get veneers, they're gonna break one day. They're gonna have to pay it again and get it redone and redone and redone and redone and redone. These are mine. These are implants. They took out all of my teeth and surgically installed these. And the only reason I did that is because my teeth was fucked up. A lot of people didn't know because I was real good at my angles. I did my club guard face. But I was missing so many molars and everything that they said I'm not a good candidate for molar. They said, man, you can get them, but you're not going to be happy. Veneers are only the front ones. You know what I'm saying? You don't have any molars, so you have nothing to really grip on. You say they're going to break on you in about a year. You're not going to be happy. And I was like, it's like now, you may want to get implants. They say it's way more expensive. You know, for implants, it's going to be $65,000. You know what I'm saying? They say, but these teeth are more permanent. They look better. They look natural. You know what I'm saying? I was like, fuck it, I'm a rich nigga. Let's go. Let's go. You know what I'm saying? So, did that.
How painful was that process?
Boy, I was finna get into that. Boy, that shit, I ain't gonna lie, it had me crying.
They ain't numb you up or no shit?
It's a different kind of pain that medication can't help the kind of pain I went through the first 2 weeks. And it was like, it would take the edge off of it, but boy, when them pills wear off, boy, it's a pain you can't run from. It's, you know how I feel when one tooth is hurting. You know what I'm saying? You got one cavity, or you pull one tooth out. Imagine all of them. And then they just put some metal. I have no teeth. I just have 8 screws in my skull. You know, so you have to get used to certain, your skull has to adjust to these screws. It will be certain times where I would just see little flashes of light at the side of my eyes. Like my skull, it's the nerves are trying to get used to it. It's like my eyes, my skull has to get used to this new metal in my mouth. You know what I'm saying? The first 2 weeks, I was sitting there like, I wish I didn't do this, man. God damn. And then I looked weird. It wasn't the right size teeth. They weren't too big, but they weren't hanging low enough. So the song I did with Ludacris last year, I hate watching that video because it was the first, the teeth they gave me. And I opened my mouth. My teeth ain't even hanging under my lip. Yeah. It's like I ain't even got no teeth. You ain't see them unless I smile real hard. You know what I'm saying? So it's like I hate watching that video because it's my old teeth. You know what I'm saying? But once you get that, do that pain and that swelling go down, then you're just like, oh, I'm a movie star now. Yeah. But, you know, veneers, you don't go through that. About 2 or 3 days, you're back to normal, and you may have to learn how to talk a little bit differently. But other than that, you're right back to work. But them implants, it's different.
Yeah.
It's different. But at the end, the reward's better. They look better, and they last forever.
Yeah. Talk about, because, I mean, with the Ludacris record, you know what I'm saying? For one, like, I know what it is, bro, coming from the era we grew up in. You know what I'm saying? We knew, we seen Ludacris come up and seen, you know what I'm saying? We seen that shit. To do a record with him, and then, again, as kids, I remember seeing Baby Got Back when it first came out. You know what I'm saying? And then you go in there and, like, redo that whole joint, bro.
Hey, man, shout out to Luda, man. It was dope meeting him because that was one of those people I looked at like Missy Elliott, Busta Rhymes, people who I always thought outside the box. When I watched their videos, it made my imagination travel. Like it wasn't just normal shit. They dropped bags on those videos for us to watch as kids and be like, man, this nigga Ludacris got a big ass head in this video. Man, Missy Elliott head came off and went like that. Is that show shit? Like, a little shit like that. The Baby kind of reminds me of that, how he do his videos and the fisheye cameras where he was in there, like how Hype Williams was doing. But, you know, meeting Luda, like, that was another Then Leave story. Then Leave started popping. So after the deal, that's when it went nuts. That's when the radio started going crazy with it. You know, Columbia, they pressed that button. That's when you couldn't run from it, you know what I'm saying? And it was going dumb in Atlanta. It's like the scamming bitch anthem. Like in Atlanta, like they still a ritual. It's like choir rehearsal when that shit come on in Atlanta. You know what I'm saying? So like Ludacris, you know, you live in Atlanta, you couldn't ignore that song. And he had did a freestyle to it for the radio station out there for like their morning show or whatever. And his DJ Infamous, he was playing in the clubs and he was the first one to DM me. He was like, hey man, we love this song in the A. I say, I know. I keep getting booked out there all the damn time. I know. He said, man, Luda want to meet you. I was like, Luda, Chris? He's like, yeah, man, Luda want to meet you. I was like, when? He's like, well, shit, when you got a show out here Friday? I was like, yep. I said, nigga, I will be there early. You know what I'm saying? So went to his studio. He's up in there chilling. And Luda just walked in that motherfucker. Because I think he had just got through filming the new Fast and Furious movie. You know, so he finally had some chill time. So he walked up in there. And I've met everybody at this point. I done met Drake. I done met all these rap niggas. I done met Nicki Minaj. I'm a Houston nigga. We don't get starstruck like that. But when I met that nigga, I got starstruck like a motherfucker. I was like, oh, shit, Luda, man. Hey, man, look, dog. I love on the goddamn video what you did. You had the big head, did the flip in the motherfucking, you know. But me and him, we just developed a relationship, man. Like, we text every other week. He follow me on Instagram, and you know what I'm saying? It's real genuine with me. That's like how me and 2 Chainz got cool. Like, you know, it was genuine. You know what I'm saying? And I just hit Luda up. I said, hey man, I remade one of your old songs. I said, I want you to hear it. hear this. She said, man, this shit hard as fuck. I said, hop on it.
You played it, right? You played it there when you went to go meet
him? I sent it to his phone. He said, nigga, I got you. He hopped on that motherfucker. And I was like, oh, shit. So it's only two niggas from Houston with a ludicrous verse, Chameleon Air and me. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, all right. So I told Columbia, I was like, man, this is going to be the next single. It's like, what? No, we like Shake That Air, bitch. I say, no, nah, nigga, fuck that. This is the next one. Even if it don't do nothing, I want this out for me. Because that's ludicrous. You know what I'm saying? So we did that. Now I'm like, I got a video with Luda. I can't do no fucking normal video with some Dracos in front of a gas station. Let me think like how he would think. Let me redo Baby Got Back. I'm going to go in a full character. I'm going to get the hat, the jacket, all that shit. And he loved that idea. He said he could just know what I'm cut from. Like, I'm not no young nigga. I'm a young old nigga. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've been around. You know what I'm saying? So I did that. You know, me and Ludacris, we just got cooler. And then the fucking Fast and Furious movie came out the next month. I couldn't plan that. So I got all kind of promotion. You know what I'm saying? You know, so shout out to Luda, man. Like, that's a cool friend to have. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just heard his song on a Super Bowl commercial the other day and texted him about that. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
Shout out to Luda, man.
Yeah, man. Let's go back, though, man, to that cucumber era, though, man. Because, you know, it was a thing, like, you know, other people picked it up, and I saw other people, I can't remember what I was watching, but somebody was, like, trying to credit somebody else for that, and I was like, nah, B-King's
the first Breakfast one. That was Angela Yee. I ain't met her yet either. She, but it's not her fault, though. It's just another one of them things. If you're not on the national level, you don't know where it came from. You know what I'm saying? And I chopped it up with Trouble and Boosie. You know what I'm saying? Trouble was like, I didn't know you started it. You know what I'm saying? A bitch just, one of your fans came in my DM sucking the cucumber with my song playing in the background. He said, so I reposted it because my song was in the background. She was sucking the cucumber like a dick. So him having more followers, they thought he started the cucumber shit. Meanwhile, for a whole year and a half, I didn't have the whole country at my shows down in them hoes. You know what I'm saying? But
what was even the thought process to say, you know what, man, we're going to pick up some cucumbers for the show tonight, man?
Man, hey, man, it's a long story. I'm going to try to make it short as possible, man. 2017, one of them stagnant years. You know what I'm saying? Around that time, people like B-King has had his time. He's had his run. You know, he's not going to get any bigger than he is now. You know, I was like, man, fuck that. I got me fucked up. So I made this song called Scream. It was on my Ash the World 2 album. You know what I'm saying? My partner, brother, still fuck with this nigga to this day, Papa Run in Dallas. He said, hey, bro, this song Scream picking up out here in Dallas, and you ain't even put no time or money or nothing into it. I was like, oh, yeah? I said, well, I'm going to shoot a video to that. And I want to try top tip drill. I'm going to be sliding cards in bitches' asses. I'm going to be putting Uno cards on their ass. I'm going to find any dick-shaped vegetable I can find, make them suck that shit. Did that shit. And I'm sitting there recording on my Snapchat the whole time. At the end of the night, I looked at my Snapchat. It was froze. It wouldn't move. Finally, the screen finally scrolled over. It said I had 70,000 views. I was like, what the fuck? My shit froze. It won't move. And I saw 70,000 people had watched the video shoot behind the scenes of me just recording everything. People like, nigga, that's what you do in Dallas on a Tuesday? I'm like, I just caught all the nasty strippers I know and just shot a video. You know what I'm saying? So when I saw that, I told the director halftime, I said, bro, I need this video tomorrow. He said, you ain't got to tell me that, nigga. This is top priority. He edited that video in a day, put it on Instagram, put it on YouTube. It did 100,000 views in a day. I had never done that before. I said, oh, shit, how do I keep this momentum up? Well, they talking about the cucumbers and shit in the comments. Well, let me bring the vegetables to the next show. Did that in Killeen, and it went viral. 50 Cent posted it, Shade Room posted it, Ball Alert posted it, all the blogs on Instagram posted it. I was like, oh, shit, I'm lit. Let me do it next week. Had a show in Freeport, Texas. Did it again. It went viral again. Academics posted it this time. 50 Cent posted everything. I was like, I'm on to something. Said I just start doing it every weekend. It got to the point where I dyed my hair green. I start calling myself Disgusting Justin. It matched the throw up emojis and the color of the cucumbers was green. I was like, I ain't been the whole little ratchet comic book character. You know what I'm saying? Like, but I made a lot of money off that Disgusting Justin shit. That's when my show prices really started.
Well, people booking you for that.
They was trying to see all the freaks in their city, and it was working. On top of that, my single was doing good that year. That's the year Atlanta really discovered my music, 2018-ish. You know what I'm saying? And, like, I just looked up one day, and I just got tired of seeing that green shit in my hair. I was too fucking old for that shit. Hmm. My daughters was like, Daddy, take it out your hair. What are you doing? I was like, honey, you're right. Took that shit out of my hair, and M.A. didn't leave.
Yeah, and it was a wrap.
That's how it happened. But that whole cucumber era, that was that shit was crazy. I had got banned in like 4 different like states.
I was gonna ask you what any blowback from that, because this time we in, you know, people.
That Bible Belt, they ain't having it. It was some cities in Arkansas that wouldn't let me come back. It was a San Angelo, Texas, wouldn't let me come back to their club. There's a lot of places. That just wasn't having that. You know what I'm saying? Every time I would do that, that city would be turned upside down on Facebook the next day. Once the video come out, I would post the video that morning. And then the whole city I had just performed in would be like, what the fuck? And I'm gone now. But they whole city all fucked up. From that one video of a girl sucking a cucumber a girl that was probably a good, nice, wholesome girl. They never thought she was like that. You know what I'm saying? So
Beacon got out of your bed.
You know, so that's when that cucumber shit was happening, that's when Uncle Luke followed me.
I was like, and you was running shit with the Texas Uncle Luke shit, so that was, you know.
I was like, damn, Uncle Luke followed me. That nigga DM'd me, say, I gotta come to one of your shows. I was like, excuse me, sir, what did you say? He's like, yeah, nigga, your shit fucking crazy. I was like, that's Uncle Luke. Nigga, the shit I'm doing crazy, but it ain't nothing like what he was doing. That nigga had beds on stage in 92.
Really going down. Yeah.
Bitches squirting alcohol out they pussy on stage. I'm like, I could get bitches to do that too, but the times I'm in,
I'm gonna
get canceled. I'm going to jail. Me and him had them combos. He went to jail a lot. He talking about times he performed at the Apollo and they wasn't ready for that South shit like that. Yeah, bitches doing crazy shit. I could do that today. I'm pretty powerful, but I don't want to go to jail. I have daughters. I'm a lot more mature now. I think about things now. Today I have a video at my old high school, and the principal, he was just so scared. I say, sir, I'm not the same guy. I'm not gonna disrespect this school. My mom went here, I went here, I'm not gonna disrespect
this school. It's Booker T. Washington, for the record.
Booker T. Washington, I'm not gonna disrespect this school. I'm not gonna do nothing stupid. I ain't gonna have no gangs, I ain't gonna have no niggas and never pistols. I'm not gonna do nothing stupid, disrespect the school. I'm a grown ass man now. You know, he was like, okay, just thank you. Thank you. You know what I'm saying? So like it's a lot of shit has changed, you know, since the 90s, you know what I'm saying? But I think that's why Uncle Luke followed me though. I was showing people shit that they haven't seen in like over 20 years. Like females sucking cucumbers, like that's white girl shit. Like that's girls gone wild shit. Mm-hmm. Black women are not gonna get dressed in the mirror in the bathroom for 2 hours to go to a club to suck cucumbers, but they was doing that. It was fucking me up. You know, I ain't no arrogant nigga. I wasn't going to these cities like, yeah, these bitches finna suck my cucumbers. Every time it happened, it surprised me. I was like, every time I get to a city, man, they ain't gonna do it here. I get to Oklahoma, man, they ain't gonna do it. I get to St. Louis, they ain't gonna do it. And they would do it. I'm like, damn, this shit, wow. They'll do anything I say. And then this one girl, my homegirl from Atlanta, she was like, you a slick motherfucker. I'm gonna tell you why they do it. You really a sick, twisted motherfucker. You set the mood. These bitches already like your song. They already like you. They already following you. They like the songs. You mix that with Hennessy, then you bring them on stage, they already starstruck, they'll put anything in your mouth at that point, they'll put anything in their mouth at that point. You put out a vegetable, they suck the shit. You set the mood. I was like, oh, I never thought about that. She said, then you ain't got no pussy ass voice. You ain't saying twerk, twerk. You saying pop that pussy bitch. They're like, okay, shit, fuck it.
Club guard said, yeah, boy, like, they're giving out orders, man.
I was like, I never thought about it like that. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, man, that cucumber shit was crazy, man. But was crazy. And then Boosie did it at his house. He have a party every year at his house. So you got females like Alexis Sky, all them, they putting cucumbers in girls' mouth at Boosie. This is before Boosie had was at war with Instagram. His page was jumping for ratchet shit. And that shit just went nationwide. So everybody thought that Boosie in Trouble started it when that shit started in Houston too. Yeah. So I'll be doing an interview, they'll be like, man, are you mad at? I say, I used to have a little funny thing. I would say, man, it's not beef, it's only vegetables. You know what I'm saying? I'm not mad about no fucking vegetables, you know what I'm saying? But that's just some more shit that started in Houston that people are trying to run with. We set trends down here, that's what the fuck we do.
Facts. That's why I had that young here, man. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, man, each time we, like I say, man, we an underground city. We ain't never cared about that radio. We ain't never cared about what everybody else doing. We would be on our own island getting this money. You can go back to, shit, Ghetto Boys. The underground of the underground. Mind playing tricks on you. It's not no single. That's some underground, dark shit. SUC, all that shit. Underground, you know, we every once in a while, a region gonna get its time. You know, Chicago, you know, underground as fuck, but it was just time for that underground ass gang shit to come out so you can see what the fuck going on, because the motherfuckers was dying out there. You had to see what was going on. Every region have its time, you know what I'm saying? So,
yeah. One last thing, man, then we'll get out of here, man. Did you ever, because I remember at one time, you know what I'm saying, it was kind of an issue with the whole AstroWorld thing. How did Travis and y'all clear that whole thing up? Or at least get an understanding of, like, man, you know what, man, look.
We never chopped it up, you know, but later on I realized that I didn't have a problem with Travis. My thing is, AstroWorld belonged to us all. We all love going to that place. I love taking all my Coke cans and trying to get a ticket for free. And, you know what I'm saying? Fighting niggas at Fright Fest. You know, we all did that shit. You know, so that belonged to the city. I wasn't mad that another artist did an AstroWorld project. For me, I was more upset that he was discussing me with other people. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, I didn't know you had an issue with me. You could have told me. We would be DMing on Twitter, talking about music and stuff. You know what I'm saying? You could have told me that instead of somebody else that. You know, so that was my issue. You know what I'm saying? You know, so my thing is, and I DM'd Travis. I know he probably saw it. He ain't replied, but I told him. It was like about 2 years ago. I was like, man, I ain't, you know, I was like, a fan just tagged us both in a post and it brought it back on my mind. And I was like, I don't have no issue with you. My issue was you discussing the situation of that album with another rapper, talking shit about me. You were talking shit about me to another rapper when you could have just told me. You know what I'm saying? And that was my issue, you know what I'm saying? And not even on no gangster shit. I ain't no gangster nigga. But, you know, my thing is, you could have talked to me. You know what I'm saying? And that was just my whole issue. The saying go, two mountains will never meet, but two men will. And one day, we gonna chop it up. Man, he ain't no gangster either, so we should all be fine.
Already. That's what it is, man. Well, man, dog, like I said, I'm gonna have to have you come back again, man.
Oh yeah, man. I let a little carpet, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Straight up, man. We got, you know what I'm saying, RIP Screw. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Big B.
For sure.
Big Pimp C, RIP Pimp C, man. My artist, Talamisha, her single just came out today called Now You Know. We sample Pimp C. And got permission from Shannara. Hey, let me say this. You been getting me on my Pimp C shit. And let me say this. All y'all hoe ass niggas out there that sampling Pimp C and you ain't hollered at Shannara, you a hoe ass nigga. You gotta go through her. Niggas be coming to me, hey man, I got this Pimp C something. Nope, gotta holler at his wife. She the one gonna clear that shit, cause you gonna try to post that shit on Apple Music and she gonna be boop. That shit coming right down. If you ain't going through Shannara and you sampling Pimp C, or you trying to sample a beat or some shit, some UGK shit, you a hoe ass nigga if you don't go through her. Straight up.
That is, you know what I'm saying? Well, hey man, it's Club God, man. Hey man. You know what I'm saying? B King.
Yeah, man,
man,
read K Reno book. Read both of them. Straight the fuck up. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? 100.
Yeah. Well, yeah, man. You know, so I appreciate you coming through, man.
100, no problem. I should have been here, man. Like I say, I became a fan. I binge watched that shit for like 3 days. I was like, man, ESG can tell you some shit about your city you did not know.
Yeah.
That's crazy ass nigga, too.
Yeah. Shout out to ESG, man.
Shout out my nigga ESG, Everyday Street Gangster, man.
For sure, for sure. Well, yeah, man. It's the Donnie Houston Podcast. B King. Hey, man, we out of here.
100.
Donnie Houston.
Subscribe to the Donnie Houston Podcast, man.